My guest today on Piano Jazz is Lee Konitz, and he's one of the great jazz stylists on alto sax. Not only that, he's composer, arranger, teacher, and there's more. He plays piano, too. I know that because I just heard you. So, but we're not going to start out with you on piano.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Are you pleased about that? Well, we have enough songs to play here, whether you do them on alto or soprano or piano, whatever.
I figured once I established some credentials, I could get away with the piano playing a little easier.
Well, you were just in Europe, and I guess I should congratulate you for winning this wonderful Danish prize.
What do they call it? It's the first prize I ever won. It took me 64 years to win a prize. And so I recommend to all the students out there, stay around as long as you can.
Not only that, go to Denmark.
Don't change anything. Just go there.
But that's wonderful. It's like the sort of Danish Nobel Prize, isn't it?
Someone referred to it that way. I wrote my brother in Chicago and told him he was telling everybody in Chicago I won the Nobel Prize. Said, no, it's not quite that. But that's
pretty darn good. Well, let's play something. Here we are. Getting sentimental over you.
Fine.
Okay?
Great.
You know, I've always wondered, like on that last tune, how you develop all those lines. Where did you, when you first started playing, did you start right out thinking in those terms? We're going to play these long, sort of interesting lines on the tune.
Well, I heard the great players of that time. They were playing long, interesting lines, I think. So I tried to do it my way. During the time that I had studied and apprenticed with Lenny Tristano, he was very much encouraged that kind of playing.
Did you study? Did you play in school? What happened?
I played in school, and I studied with some people who just taught me how to play the saxophone. And then I met Tristano in my teens and became interested in the music. And he encouraged me greatly to try to play as spontaneously as possible and at the same time know all the information that's necessary to make that happen properly. And it does work.
It's a funny thing. It's a combination in order to do what we just did with that tune, you really have to know the tune. You can't just sort of have the tune in your head. You have to basically know all the ins and outs of the changes and the melodic line.
I think that's essential for playing these tunes. I like to play very familiar tunes and then try to stretch them as far as they'll go. I mean, that's really kind of the name of the game for me. And that could mean even removing the chord structure, agreeing to play the song without the chord structure and make up a totally new harmonic progression, but based on the melody of that song and the meter of that song.
Well, now that's something you'd have to rehearse, though, isn't it?
Well, it depends. If people are experienced doing that, I do this a lot with the people I play with all over the world. They're all familiar enough with all the things you are and those very familiar standards that they're willing to take more chances.
Well, see, I don't know. I'd like to try that. But I don't know how good I'd be at sort of instantly reharmonizing it. Now, you were just telling me something that Kenny Werner did, that he started the tune in a whole...
Oh, yeah, he would play the first two minor chords.
Now, what would he do?
He'd play F major to B flat major.
But... about what it would be, wouldn't it, if you think of the melody line.
Right. And then, of course, that just set the whole thing up into a different direction. But there was always an allusion to All the Things You Are. You want to try it once for a second?
Yeah, just a second, yeah.
Let me get my horn, okay?
Okay.
So I'm going to play All the Things You Are without stating anything inherent in All the Things You Are, except the fact that the melody will... roll by, and then you just react to that once.
Okay. That's nice, you know, to be doing the show and have somebody come along and get me into a different mode. I love it.
Great.
Now, I've got to ask you a few things before we go into another tune. For a while there, a few years ago, did Paul Desmond sort of get a lot from your playing? It seems to me there were times when he... sounded like he had really been listening to you a lot.
I think he had been. You know, we all listen to each other and borrow and steal like crazy.
I don't know if it's borrowing or stealing so much as, like me with Bill Evans. I mean, I hear something that he did and I'm thinking, oh, isn't that beautiful? And I don't necessarily want to copy every note just to be in that style of playing.
Yeah, I think it's common property once it's out there. And it's up to us to listen closely and rearrange the parts.
I think it's a great thing for kids to be involved in this kind of thing.
I think the kids are getting the advantage of all of this technology that's been codified more each week. It seems there's new schools opening up and new opportunities. And just look at I heard a record today by Benny Green.
That kid is fantastic.
I mean, he played You Don't Know What Love Is, and I had to stop what I was doing to really listen to it. It was beautiful. I mean, he's been doing that for a while. And what is he, 12?
He's about 25, dirty, rotten little kid.
But, I mean, he's been swinging hard for a number of years now. And why not? I mean, Mozart was doing it when he was 5, right?
Yeah.
If you get the proper information, you know, and work at it, there it is.
Well, now let's get some more information from you. You suggested earlier doing an unaccompanied solo on the horn. Oh. I would love that.
Oh, thank you. I do that usually every day in my bedroom, so I'll try to... share that.
Well, we'll all think of you in your bedroom.
Thank you.
What is this solo going to be?
I'll play some variations of Stella by Starlight. I wanted to just mention that I think one of our obligations as horn players, of course, is to be able to realize the song, the meter of the song, and be able to play variations, knowing how that is laid out, 32 bars, and all of the information that we must know about the chords and everything. So we have to imply the harmonies, of course, but I think that's when I'm teaching anybody, this is usually where I start, just to find out how to really play a tune very straight ahead and then stretch it out as far as you can take it.
I can't wait to hear this.
No, well, don't go away.
I won't. Now that we're going to do something totally improvisatory at two pianos.
Let me preface this by saying that I do this every day in my apartment.
In your bedroom?
No, this is in the other room.
Oh, okay.
But the way I do this is just to kind of close my eyes and play very tactily. Not tactfully, but tactily.
Tactile.
Yeah.
Tactile.
That's the name of a tune, possibly.
Tactile. T-A-C-T-I-L-E. It's a great word.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm a real word snob. I love that word. Tactilely. Well, you can play tactilely here. We
you don't mind.
We'll stop you. You can close your eyes, pretend you're in your apartment.
I might go to sleep, but, that's a chance you take when you close your eye.
Yeah, just don't snore and don't... Don't bump your head on the keys. As long as you do that, we'll let you sleep.
Okay.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from Save America's Treasures, a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Parks Service, Department of the Interior, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.